Can't hear me? I wasn't talking. The Lord's been speaking to me about our quality of trust. And I think for the body of Christ as a whole, we could trust him a lot more. What I don't want to see is that I don't want to see the Lord stripping me of all abilities to force me to trust him. You agree?
Yeah.
Right. So I think this could be voluntary. That's what I'm hoping for. I believe he wants us to trust him for everything. But we can't do that unless we understand his nature. Do we really know the nature of God intimately? Or do we just know some stuff we read or what we heard in Sunday school? You know, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. I don't know how that song goes. So that's kind of where we are today. So if we could turn to Luke 3. Now, at the risk of being redundant, I know David brought this out last week, but I already had this written down, so I still got to do it anyhow. So in 3:22 or 21, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And last week it was brought out that Jesus hadn't done anything yet, but he had the Father's approval. So then if we skip over to chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. And at the end of 40 days, he was hungry. And the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." And then the devil brought him up to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms and said, "I'll give you all their authority and splendor." And then he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he says, "Throw yourself down from here, because it's written, you know, the angels are going to catch you." Okay, what I want to say about that is that you know, the devil being out there in the wilderness did not take the Father by surprise, right? Isn't Satan one of the servants of God? He helps God. He's a tool in the truest sense of the word. And we fight against him, but a lot of times he's a messenger to help refine us. See, in refining gold, if you throw some base metal in like lead or something like that and you give it a lot of heat, the lead will drag out all the impurities into the atmosphere. So it actually purifies the metal. We're in that same crucible situation. God wants to develop his character in us. All of it, not part of it, all of it. Of course, each of us is gonna show different qualities, but we're all gonna have all of his character when it's all said and done. So let's examine what Satan was appealing to here in Jesus' nature. You know, Jesus was human. He was fully human. And he was fully God. So the first thing he appealed to was his desires or needs. How many of us get tripped up because we think, well, you know, I can't trust God for that. I really need this. Well, Jesus needed some food, but he wasn't going to succumb to the temptation to think of himself. And the next one, he was shown all the kingdoms in the world. Satan was appealing to personal gain. How many ministries have fallen on that one? And people in general, you know, they're just, there's this spirit in the world where people are just trying to cluster things around them. It's a greed. And then the last one, Satan was appealing to Jesus for self-justification. You know, justify yourself. If we know the ways that we're tempted, maybe we can avoid some of this. But all of that isn't going to do anything if we're not back by the Jordan hearing what the Father has to say about us. That's the most important thing. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if we simplify that sentence, it means faith comes by hearing the word. If a tree falls in a forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make any noise? Of course it does. If the Father's speaking and we're not listening, is there word? Are we changed, though? Trick questions, huh? So we really need to listen. I don't think Father's speaking to us all the time. He's not a blabbermouth. But when he does speak with us, it's powerful. And if we're too busy worried about our needs or our justification or our personal gain, we're not going to hear it. Amen. What he says to us is the only reality in this world. Everything else is an illusion. What he says to each of us is the only reality we have. And I don't mean picking up the Bible and reading. That's not a bad thing. But it's getting alone with God and listening to him to see what he has to say about each and every one of us. Revelation says that he's got a very personal name for each of us. That intrigues me, because there's a lot of power in a name, isn't there? My name means tender. That wasn't very obvious my first 30 years of life. It's more obvious now, but how did that happen? How does death, burial, and resurrection happen? Did Jesus do any of that? He was part of it, but could he make it happen? He didn't kill himself. Somebody else hung him on a tree. Somebody else buried him. And somebody else resurrected him. Why would it be any different for us? No, we want to be involved. We want to help God. Maybe the best thing would be if we were hanging on a tree. We don't like to feel weak. Then we're not in control. We don't look good. We're not proud of ourselves. And maybe we're worried other people aren't going to be proud of us if we're weak. Isn't that exactly where he wants us, though? Paul said, I glory in my weaknesses. That's pretty strong language. I glory in my weaknesses. I think for us, we tolerate them and we hope they don't show up when we're around others. He loves us so much. If we're stressing, we're not trusting. If we're worried, we're not trusting. It's that simple. There's your thermometer. If we're walking with any amount of stress, we're not listening. Because God's going to tell us the way things really are. I was talking with a pilot one time, and he flew commercially, and he flew a 10-seater. Twice a year, they would wrap the cockpit in canvas on the inside, and he'd have to take off and land without being able to see anything. Just have to use instruments. That is scary. How about let's us live like that? Put the blinders on to the world, to the problems that we have. Glory in our weaknesses and trust Him. Does He really love you? How does He feel about you? Ask Him so you will know. It's really wonderful to hear the voice of the Lord directly to you, speaking inside your heart. And I think that's an exception, not the rule. So I want to encourage you to listen. Let's look over at Psalm 81. I'd like you to read this on your own time, but I'm just going to cherry pick a few areas. Start at 8. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel. Now let's go over to 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. That's a very nice promise. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. Yeah, I know he's talking to the nation of Israel, but we're included in that, aren't we? Okay, just to make sure. 12. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. God's not going to impair you if you don't want him. You know, he'll let you go. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? That's sweet. That is so sweet. We don't have anything to worry about. if we listen. Lord, we want to listen to you. Open our ears. We surrender. Surrender to your awareness. Surrender to your word. Surrender to your vision. In Jesus' name, amen.